otherwise known as And He Called, class number 5. And it's on the sprinkling of the blood. And I feel like the Lord has really, the Holy Spirit has really, really been ministering this material to my heart. So I feel this could be a precious class for those who are prepared of the Lord for this. And I know that that person is definitely me. And I just want the Lord in this way. Father, we thank you. Oh, my God. We just ask, Lord, that you would minister, even as was prayed before this class, that, Father, you would reveal and open up your Son to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would, along with all that you're doing in us, to bring forth your Son, that this would be a part of that, Lord, in a real way. Timed of God, timed of God. Oh, Lord, just we just come to you now, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for this time to be with you in eternal ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So the sprinkling of the blood, and let's begin. I want to just share it with you the way he shared it with me, and which was a way I took me a little bit by surprise. All right, let's start at just the scriptures in Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 1, and I just want to begin in the very verses that mention this process. Now, there's a process that happens when we're building our own altar and when the basis upon which the Lord has been ministering from Leviticus to us is that the Father's calling out of his tabernacle that we would release the firstborn in sacrifice from within us, which we are the temple. And in a specific way, we find in this book, and I'm just recapping really briefly, that in Leviticus we hear the specifics of how he wants that son offered to him. And just incredible. And there's a process, there's an order in the way that he's defined it. There's eternal elements, but there's eternal order. There's eternal elements, but there's eternal order. Both are huge. They're huge. They're huge in this book. The eternal order has to do with laying the hand on picking out, the Father actually picks it out, but the sacrifice, the offering, the laying of the hands on that, the sprinkling, the killing of it, the sprinkling of the blood, the flaying of the pieces, the dividing of the inward parts, the washing of the inward parts, the ordering of the wood, and the turning the offering into smoke. That's by memory, I believe that that's pretty close. Every step is incredible. You can't get from here to there. You just can't get from here to there without that eternal order, with those eternal elements of the sacrifice. So that's what the Holy Spirit's emphasizing, is that order. Now, the sprinkling of the blood comes pretty quickly. First, you've got the picking of the sacrifice, the laying of the hands on the sacrifice, and the killing of the sacrifice, which the dove hasn't really... We haven't focused on those three steps a lot, but the sprinkling of the blood does come before the dividing of the inward parts, the dividing of the pieces of his members, and ordering of the wood, which we have discussed. And so I was like, well, that's interesting that we're looking at the sprinkling of the blood now, but I think as we continue to see this in the New Testament, we'll begin to understand a little more why this is coming now. And but let's look. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 5. And we're just looking at some basic scriptures here. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So there we have the first mentioning of the sprinkling of the blood. Just another one is in chapter 3 and verse 2. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Sprinkle the blood on the altar round about. It's all important. 3:13 also has that. You can look it up, but these are verses that define that progression and that process of sprinkling the blood. Now, everything I've read to you so far is the sweet savor sacrifice, otherwise known as a free will offering. Okay? And every verse that we've looked at here is the process of a free will offering, korban. Okay? Sweet savor. And in these ones, the blood is sprinkled round about the altar. Okay? But when you get to some of the non-sweet savor sacrifices, which we can see in chapter 4 and verse 6, the blood is oftentimes administered differently. So let's just look at chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is a non-sweet savor offering. This is not korban. This is not free will. This is just to deal with sins. Verse 6, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood even seven times before the Lord and before the veil of the sanctuary. So this time the blood is not sprinkled round about on the altar. This time it's sprinkled before the Lord and before the veil. Okay, it's different. And I think the difference lies in the fact that it's not sweet savor. Okay, we'll describe that more. You also check it out. It's other verses too. One, it's sprinkled to the north side of the altar instead of roundabout. Well, that's specific. Remember, eternal order, eternal elements, and how they're administered. Eternal order, eternal elements, and how they're administered. If you don't think that's personal, just fall on your face before the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you. I'm down there. You'll find me there with you. Because it is exceedingly and abundantly and deeply personal in our walk and meant to be from the Lord's heart, from the Father's heart. So there's just a basic premise for the scriptures in Leviticus that deal with the sprinkling of the blood, just a few of them, and I'm sure there's many more. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament fulfillment of these verses, and that's going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. I'll just give you a minute. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Draw near to where? You know, in the book, the version that I had left for y'all to look at, they call these sweet savor offerings, draw near offerings. They're called the draw near offerings. Let us draw near with a true heart. Doesn't say mind, pure mind, or it says with a true heart, very specific. In full assurance of faith, where is this full assurance of faith coming so we can draw near with our hearts? It's because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. And we'll look at the rest of that verse next week, the pure water. I'm going to read it again because these are important before we start discussing this. Let us, free will, let is a free will word, not a commandment, like a sin offering would be. Draw near. That's sacrifice language. Draw near to the altar. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Why? Because our hearts have been sprinkled from what? An evil conscience. So you can see why this has to be in the beginning steps in order of offering. This has to come right where it's ordered, right in that notch. It has to be there. And it's true in our walk. So let's just move back from all those scriptures in Old and New Testament and consider a few principles that I'm going to lay before you, and I'm not going to say they're right or wrong because, number one, it's not my place to say something's right or wrong. I know nothing yet as I ought, and I know nothing in myself. Every man shall be taught of God, and the word of the Lord is scriptures confirmed by his Spirit. So you take these and to your God and to your Holy Spirit and to your scriptures and see if you feel these things be so or not. But I'm just going to present some concepts to you to consider. Okay, now these are some basic things that could happen in our personal life, our daily walk, our story. Things happen and our hearts respond. Okay, let's make it really practical. Someone you love betrays you. Things happen. What is one of the first things to happen once that betrayal, that slap, that thing hits you, that wave hits your boat? What happens first? Oh, my heart gets hurt. I know that's what happens. I'm not thinking a thought first. If I put everything in slow motion and I could just have that instant replay of the moment it came and what happened inside of me after that moment came, it'd kind of look like this. My heart would feel it. And my heart would do what? Did you say react? Yeah, it would make a, well, before it reacts, what would it do? There's no right, I'm trying to gather you into the process the Holy Spirit gathers me into. Before we react, what would our heart do? Break is good. Our heart is going to respond. But before it responds, it's going to choose what it's going to respond with, isn't it? There is going to be a choice there. It may be a millisecond. Our heart responds and it begins to motivate our words and our actions. And this can happen in 0.nothing seconds. Okay? What is offered up, the calves of our lips, the fruit of our actions, that's all offering words in the New Testament, New Covenant. That's going to come through the gateway of the heart. What does the Proverbs say? The issues of life come from where? From the heart, so you should do what? You should guard it. You should guard it. Guard your heart, from therein cometh the issues of life. So the heart is the gateway for what is offered up. Think about this, because this is going to, it's almost visual, the way the Lord, Holy Spirit shared it. But so the heart is the gateway for what's going to go forth off of it. What's another word for gateway if it's going to be something that's offered? Altar, perfect. Perfect. The heart's the platform from whence the story starts, the movie, from which the performance is not a performance, but it's enacted. It's enacted on the platform of the heart. The heart's the altar. The heart's the gateway. Okay? So the heart opens and closes. Have you ever felt your heart close on the Holy Spirit or on the Spirit of Christ? Sadly to say, with deep regret, but yeah, I felt that. I'm so sorry, Lord, but man, I have felt my Lord, which is my soul at that time, say no, and just shut the door, and the flesh just goes. And you can feel it. You know when it's happening, don't you? You can almost. The heart wills and yields, chooses and turns when the heart turns towards the Lord. But it does all that based on what is motivating it, what is moving it. I think a deeper and more pure way of saying it would be what it loves, what it loves, what it really loves is going to move it and motivate it and turn it in a certain direction in that moment. Think about it. You can know what the Lamb would do, right? And you can have been in this environment of the word of the Lamb for a long enough time that you can know what the right answer is and the right response is and perform it. But shut your spirit to the real release of that nature. Because to really release it may require and will require death. Right, but to look good in the eyes of men and to seem spiritual will not require death. Well, the heart makes a choice right there. Am I going to look good and do the Lamb thing and speak the Lamb stuff to gain? Or am I going to go into a death based on what I feel moving in my heart? Because the issues of life are in your heart. I'm going down with him. And maybe the fruit of my lips is there's nothing's going to come out of it. Or the action is I just turn the other cheek. Or even, how about this, take the blame. I mean, but to do it. And that's where the heart is all involved again. From the true Lamb and not a martyr spirit. Now we're dividing out the sacrifice. Okay? But these are choices. These are the inward parts being possessed. But even before these divisions come, what comes before we divide out the inward parts? Because now we're talking about the division of the inward parts, motive and intent, aren't we? But in the eternal order of the sacrifice, what comes before dividing out the inward parts? Sprinkling of the blood has to. Let me just say it, and it should just strike your core. It has to. There's going to be nothing to divide out except your own flesh until the blood sprinkles that throne, that altar. Okay, so the sprinkling of the blood. Now, these are, once again, just some thoughts to consider. So the heart is as if it were in the new covenant, where we are the temple, where we are the body of the sacrifice, where we are the temple through which he is offered. Our heart can become that altar upon which he is given. Amen. That heart can become that altar. Okay, so now we're going to move to it. Those are just some seeds. We'll put them over here. So now we're going to move over to another view, which is kind of how the Spirit did me. We have altar earth or issue earth. Altar earth or issue earth. Okay, so the Father doesn't care what the issue or situation is in the earth. All the Father sees is kind. It's all he sees. All he knows is nature. All he measures by is essence. All he sees and experiences is a lamb or a beast, a lamb or a goat. You see that in Matthew 26 at the end when he's just dividing everything that way. He measures all from this discernment of kind. So we can think the Father is looking down on us, and we go, did you see how I was betrayed? And he goes, no, all I saw was a beast rising or a sweet savor of my son. I'm not sure what was fully going on down there. I know the Holy Spirit knows, and my son was deeply involved in the intimate details as your life. But I, as Father, know it by what came up to me. What ascended, a stench or a fragrance, a soothing odor, an odor of rest of my firstborn, my son. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't know what we're going through, and of course God is omniscient, but I'm speaking more from a heart perspective, if you will, the possible way that his heart really views things from his heart, not as from his Godhead omniscience, but from his Father heart, from his deepest heart. So he's not judging based on that was wrong, or this is fair. Why wouldn't they allow me to have this position now? Why? Where's my honor and due reward? Where is the this shouldn't be this way. It's not right. It's not even Christian. It's not even Christ for that. That's Father. Don't you see? You're supposed to be my protector. What? And he says, I see kind. I see my son, or I see that which was crucified in my son, but I don't look at that because it was put away. I'm looking for, and I'm knowing by, what is him or what is the absence of him. The absence. So he is beholding on a whole different universe, not even universe, world of God, eternal, than we. But we have issue earth. He sees the altar earth. But we have the issue earth. And that, when I say we, I mean just the carnal-minded. Carnal-minded means you're born again, but the flesh is yet to be circumcised, and it governs. Romans chapter 7 shows us that, the carnal mind spoken of in Romans 8, and it's dealt with all throughout the Word. So you can be a Christian and still live in issue earth and be governed by a carnal mind, the mind of the flesh. So we justify beasts. Let's read this here. When the flesh rises like a beast in our soul, mind, will, and emotions. Okay, I'll stop there. So you can say, why are you saying out of nowhere now, beast? Where's this coming from? We're talking about the heart. We're talking about... Because that old nature that wants to usurp the throne in our hearts, that flesh that resists the circumcision of the cross... when it is released out of us, instead of reckoned dead and committed to the death of Christ and cut off with him, if you dealt with by the cross, it devours. Its attributes are, they're so unlamb-like. They're bestial. Do you see? They're like a beast. And it's used throughout the scriptures from beginning and especially at the end in Revelation. But from Genesis to Revelation, it's there if you search. I believe you'll see it. You'll find it in the most unlikely places, but it will be there. When the flesh rises like a beast in our soul, now here's where is it rising. It's not in the body yet. It's not manifesting. There's no word yet spoken. There's no deed done. And that's where it gets tricky because I'm not saying we. It's so easy. It can be so easy to be okay if I say the right thing or don't say the wrong thing or do the right thing or don't do the wrong thing. And praise the Lord for the law to keep us. I mean, that is, it's better to not release the beast and keep him in the cage than let him go free. But it has nothing to do with fulfilling God's heart. But we can judge. But here's where the real thing the Spirit gave me, dealt with me, and is really deeply hitting my heart with. Any fool can discern the movements and motions of a beast. How difficult is it for anybody, saved or unsaved, to know when you're acting like a beast to somebody? Do you have to be born again to discern that that's vile and mean? And I mean, I remember when I had no Jesus in me whatsoever, and my sisters and I were fighting, and I was scaring myself. I'm like, what is this force of nature in me I cannot control? And it is mean, and it is violent, and it's got me. I mean, I'm under its spell. I can't help myself. I am dead in sin here. There's a nature that's in me that's bigger than me, controlling me. I knew it. I knew it way before I ever knew Jesus. I knew from deep inside. I could discern that without having the Holy Spirit inside of me or being born again. So if it's that easy to discern devouring tendencies and pushiness and manipulation and the dark, the dark arts where we manipulate. Us women understand that. We manipulate secretly to get our way. We know how to do it. And men, they know how to push it through. And we all know how to, but we all got our ways to the dark arts, the things that go lurking in the night. The hidden dark motives. We know them, don't we, guys? If we're real honest, we know when that stuff's lurking around deep inside. So if we know that, if we really know when that's at work in us, how incredible is it that since the fall, we are able to justify our beasts that rise from our innermost parts based on the knowledge of good and evil and the particulars of the situation? I mean, just think on that. Have you ever really, really known you violated the Lamb without maybe knowing it up here because you were so controlled by good and evil? But you knew deep down, this isn't the Lamb in me, but you had totally justified that situation. Like, that was wrong. How could they not do that? I asked them to do the microphone this way, or I asked them to simply do this, these attitudes come out. You know, am I asking too much to say wash the dishes this way? It doesn't have to be a huge thing. I'm just going to have a little attitude here. I'm just going to release stuff on my family, people I work with, people I'm close to. I'm just going to let a little spirit come out of me of just, I'm better, you're worse, or I can't believe this. I'm just a Texan. That's just my personality. That's just the way I roll, baby. I'm just real. I'm real. Yeah, you're real. Carnal. You really, really are, and it really hurts people. And it really hurts the Lord. No, no, man, that's just me. I mean, come on. But I can be the Lamb. I can really be the Lamb. Deep. Oh, I've got depth of the Lamb. I got such great depths of the Lamb in me that it's going to be proved in these great deep altars. He's going to see it out of me. But I am going to justify all these little things all day long. And my conscience is going to be totally cool with it. Because the knowledge of good and evil, and I mean, I've worked it up with the knowledge of good and evil. I can justify anything. I mean, it's hot out here, man. What do you expect? I'm sick. I'm real sick. I got the right to have an attitude. What? I already went the extra 3 miles. I have a right to have an attitude. If I'm not going to have an attitude, I'm going to have some vile thoughts going on in me, like a stench. What? oh, well, whatever. It's okay. It's just, you know, that's how you take an 11-day journey and make it 40 years. But dude, it's okay. Because in the deep altars, when it comes time to say the right thing, pray the right thing, minister like outside, outwardly, I can do that. But when it comes to the real altar and the heart and the things that are supposed to build up to those big altars in the real way, no way, man, I'm totally out of, I have nothing, my wood is not lined up. There is no sprinkling of blood. Hello, I have not laid my hands on that offering. I'm not one with that, not yet. I'll do it on the big day of glory over there, but uh-uh, not right here. I ain't laying my hands on that. Uh-uh. Pretty real, isn't it? Pretty real. So you go, well, I can discern the beast in them. I can discern the beast in a movie. I can discern the beast in the scriptures. But I am so married to the knowledge of good and evil that my carnal mind and the fruit of that tree that I eat of has deadened my conscience to any vestige of letting the Lamb really live in me. Man, that can't happen unless you're really far from the Lord. That could never happen in a total environment, especially one like this with the Lamb being taught. Dude, it happens all the time, probably more than anything else. I'm just being real. I'm talking to myself. When does the real change come? When we start making decisions right here. Quit playing around. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking the way my Father's talking to me. So just pray for me, right? Just pray for me. You go, I don't know why I keep feeling dead on the inside. I don't know why I don't feel that river flowing. I don't know why I don't feel the pleasure of the Lord like I used to. Well, are you justifying all the time little things that are just throwing that Lamb off the altar, shutting the gateway, pushing him off the platform, and letting the beast go out instead? Do you think that would grieve the Holy Spirit? Would you feel a little lack of the pleasure of the Lord there? So our conscience comes into play. Because I believe, and I've heard it taught, that the conscience is part of the heart, part of the spirit. It's a part of the spirit. It's a part of the heart. It's part of the spirit too. So God gave us a conscience, an instrument therein. The notes the Lord gave are really clear. All right. Okay, so our conscience is the instrument that the Lord gave us to be able to bear witness and discern and move with the Lamb in our heart, if you will. He gave us this organ in our spirit. He gave us this conscience. Why would he give us a conscience but for the sake of the Lamb in us? Would he give us a conscience just so we can be moral creatures or full of judgment in the knowledge of good and evil? Or all, in my opinion, it's because he wants his son out of us so deep, so deep. So our conscience is, and we see this in the scriptures, where we bear witness. We bear witness in our conscience. Our conscience is it's a little dude in there that bears witness. I bear witness. Yeah, I'm a witness-bearing organ, you know? I don't know what's that little thing that you don't know what it does? It's to get it taken out. I don't know what the appendix does, but I know the conscience bears witness. That's what I do. I'm a witness bearer. You go, but okay, does that mean you're just omniscient? You just know all things about God, Mr. Conscience, so that whatever you think is right is true? No, I'm not really I'm just kind of an organ, but you got to give me the witnesses that I can, you know, I just bear, I'm like a cheerleader. I go, yeah, go. Go, rah, rah, rah. But you know, I don't really know what I'm cheering for until something comes to me. I need something to bear. So the serpent goes, here I am with a great big apple. And the conscience goes, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes, yes, yes. And the heart goes, ooh, I feel a witness. I feel a witness. Yeah, a witness that it's right to get back at him. Amen. Hallelujah. The serpent says, you bet. The tree of knowledge of goes, that's right. I'm flowing through your veins. You're feeling it. Mm-hmm. Let's all bear witness together. I'm bearing witness. Or some guy comes and preaches the moral code. This is what's right. You should do this. Brush those teeth twice a day. Man, when I don't brush my teeth, my conscience convicts me. Yeah, my conscience went, amen. Brush your teeth twice a day. And when you floss, go like this. And make sure you get that kind of toothbrush. I bear witness. And I'm going to brush that way. I'm convicted. Like, okay, well, all right, I'm brushing. When I don't do it, I feel guilty. My conscience goes, what are you doing? Don't you know? It's how you brush your teeth. We've had several witnesses on this. Well, come on now. This is the deal. So, man, I was raised in this kind of religion where if I don't fast on the shubaduba day at the shubaduba hour, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm damned to hell. My conscience is all convicted. Well, okay. Maybe he got in the wrong ballpark and listened to the wrong team. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. True conviction. It's a witness bearer. It's, you know, I don't know if this is right or not. I'm submitting this to you with my own conviction, which, forgive me, I'm too strong. I need Jesus. So our conscience is where we bear witness, and it can be influenced by the knowledge of good and evil, but our conscience can also bear witness with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 2. Romans chapter 9. In verse 2, la-da-dee. Anybody just want to read it? Wait, I'm almost there. Well, 9 verse 2, but I got it. No, it's not. It's 9 verse. I'm at 2 verse 9. That's exactly right.
Well, 9 verse 1 is really good.
But, okay, 9 verse 1 is really good. And it's actually the right verse. Mallory, why don't you? So I say the truth in Christ. Mallory's like, 9-1 is kind of good. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So there it is. Your conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. And so most importantly, we see that little conscience in the Word of God. So, okay, we're building up to our point here. But when the conscience, so the priest comes in. And the person has laid hands on the side. They've chosen it. They've laid their hands on it. They've killed it. So they're all in, right? But he's like, but we got to deal with this altar thing. Because everything that's come up till now, it still hasn't been released. It still hasn't ascended. It hasn't gone forth yet, right? It's just been received to a certain degree in our hearts, in our beings. So those priests, once that sacrifice is slaughtered, you can't do this until the death has come, until the death release, until that lamb, until that bullock, until that offering has been slaughtered, until it has bled out its life, until it has been gutted. Amen? Not until that point is there anything to sprinkle. So you can't do that. You can't get your conscience sprinkled with an uncrucified Christ. So the preaching of the cross is the power of God to those who are saved. There's no sprinkling without a crucified Christ. Okay, so there's got to be blood that's come out of the sacrifice. So the priests don't gather up the teaching and they don't gather up instruction manuals, and they don't even gather up, exercise programs on how to do this. They take the very life matter that's poured out of the wounds of the slaughtered beast, and they get up to that heart or that altar site, right, where the conscience is, where the heart is, and they start sprinkling blood on it. You see that? They start sprinkling blood. What do you think happens when that blood starts being sprinkled on that altar, if that altar represents our heart, and if the conscience is part of our heart, part of our spirit? What kind of effect is that going to have? This isn't teaching we're talking about right now. This is literal, the blood of the sacrifice hitting us. This is where it hit me, right here. What kind of an effect is that going to have on our heart? And what kind of an effect is that going to have on our conscience? There's going to be a whole new thing to bear witness to. a whole new essence, being, way, nature, that our conscience is going to be able to bear witness with the Holy Spirit and the blood, and we'll look at this later. But we have the blood now to sprinkle on that altar, to cleanse it. To cleanse it from what? Because these are cleansing things. The altar is being cleansed right now. It's being cleansed of the carnal mind. Mm-hmm. It's being cleansed of the things that would release the wrong offering. A beast instead of a lamb. A blemished lamb, but not the real unblemished firstborn. I mean, the priest isn't going, this is what the death looks like. This is what he does. This is how he acts. This is how he thinks. This is what, he doesn't say any of that like Randy shared in the last class. The new covenant is, I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit in you. He's not teaching tablets on what to do by laws. He's taking a new, our fleshly, you know, impression, that vessel, and he's pouring the lamb's blood, what comes out of the sacrifice. The blood is going on our hearts, the blood. I want to eat your flesh. I want to drink your blood. I want my conscience to be purged, purged, purged by the blood. I want it to have something to bear witness to, not understand. I don't want my mind to understand the message of Christ crucified. I want my spirit to bear witness with the blood. This is his nature, and I can bear witness. This is the Lamb. Now I'm getting ready to offer. Now I know what's going on inside of me. Now I'm getting this altar ready for offering. But I need the blood sprinkled on it. Let us draw near with a true heart that has a full assurance of faith because it has been sprinkled with blood. That's a New Testament scripture right there. But there is a, when the conscience is sprinkled with the sacrifice, it has a new platform from which it can move. The conscience will, at this point, when the sprinkling of the blood starts happening, our conscience will not be so easily assuaged by the knowledge of good and evil to justify, to cover, to set beasts free in our motive and then in our words and attitudes. If the conscience bears witness with our justifications based on our carnal reasonings that are blessed by the knowledge of good and evil, then we will release the beast with no sense of violating and breaking God's heart. That is a conscience that needs cleansed by the blood. Notice this, it says, cleansed of an evil, sprinkled from an evil conscience. It doesn't say a deceived conscience. Oh, my poor little conscience, it just kind of gets stuck in that carnal stuff. It's so cute. My cute carnal conscience. No, it says an evil conscience. It's evil. Evil's a pretty strong word. Blood sprinkling out of the carcass of the slaughtered touching us. Think about it. The blood that's sprinkled out of the carcass of the sacrifice is blood that has been torn and slaughtered by beasts, that has given itself without resistance, guile, opening the mouth to justify, pushing back to self-protect, or wrestling to escape. It's blood that gave itself in God's nature. It's blood that carries the life and essence of the sacrifice. It's blood that needs to touch the conscience to such a degree that we will draw near to the altar instead of resist it based on our reasonings. And we will do so with a pure heart, not a heart mixed and defiled with beast motives that are being justified. The poured out life of the sacrifice needs to touch the conscience so that the altar of the heart may be prepared to offer the Lamb. Once the blood is sprinkled, the Spirit will bear witness with our conscience. Hebrews 10:15, just 7 or so verses before this, says, "Wherefore the Holy Ghost is also a witness for us and to us. For he has said this, 'This is the covenant that I'm going to make with them after those days, saith the Lord, and I'm going to put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write it to them.'" This is just verses before the sprinkling. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness to us that this is the covenant that he will make. He will put the law in our hearts. And then he sprinkles it with the blood. Amen. Holy Spirit. A heart sprinkled from an evil conscience is the effect of the Lamb in his pure mind of sacrifice upon the altar of our heart, from whence he wants to give himself. Bloodless evaluations. I'm just going to read because I do feel it's more clear here in the notes.
What was that subject title?
The last subject title was blood sprinkling out of a carcass. This is called bloodless evaluations. Throughout Leviticus, there are laws for not partaking of the blood nor eating of the flesh of unclean beasts. Lots of laws about blood and what you partake of. And that kind of life is not to touch or enter the temple of God, because the slain lamb is to be all and in all. But how practical and real is that in our daily experience? When the beast rises from the depth of our being, drawn forth by some situation in our earth walk, does our conscience even notice the flesh that is rising in our motives? Or is it justifying the flesh because of the injustice? So we've talked about that. This is a kind of a recap, I guess. The conscience takes no note of kind and functions on a bloodless evaluation. So the conscience that has not been sprinkled functions on a bloodless evaluation. There is no blood. There's no blood. I mean, Holy Spirit, help us to get that in our core. There is no blood involved in how it discerns or bears witness. It only has information, the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge. There's no tree of life that comes from a life that was given on a cross. There's blood on that tree. That tree pours out blood and water. Blood and water for cleansing. Water's coming next class. That tree pours out blood and water, and there's eternal elements released out of death. The tree of life is just mind and knowledge. Bloodless evaluating. So you can say, Lord, I'm evaluating. Is there any blood being sprinkled on my heart and my conscience? Am I bearing witness to the crucified by his nature in me? Or is everything just up here? Everything just up here in justification, knowledge of what this nullifying the covenant between the Son and the Father, you know, nullifying the altar. Yet the conscience sprinkled with blood takes only one thing into consideration: what nature is rising. An evil conscience. I think we've looked at that. The Lord is supposed to be. Okay. Good, we're doing good. An evil conscience. Let's look at the evil conscience a little more. So Hebrews doesn't just say that our hearts are sprinkled from a confused conscience or even a carnal conscience, but an evil conscience. That is beast terminology. This conscience is allowing beasts into the sanctuary. Beasts devour lambs. The lamb is supposed to be Lord and fullness in the sanctuary, reigning from the altar throne in our hearts through selfless giving even unto death. When the beast is let loose by the conscience, it stops the lamb from reigning in us. It takes his throne and desecrates it. We don't have a lamb mind that only thinks lamb thoughts based on nature and sacrifice. The Bible says to let this mind be in you, but what is really being in us? A carnal mind that escapes the altar and exalts itself and fights with darkened reasonings that are vindicated by an evil conscience to have its way and live instead of allowing the lamb to give through us. But once the heart is truly sprinkled, you are cleansed from vile motives and prepared to offer up the acceptable sacrifice. So that's the good news. Let us draw near. And let us, once that heart is sprinkled, we are cleansed from vile motives and prepared to offer the acceptable sacrifice. So this is what the Aaron's sons do. And honestly, this is what Christ, our high priest, does. He, and it says this in Ephesians chapter 5 when it speaks of the lamb groom and the church bride, wife, that he cleanses her and he washes her with the word, but he has also cleansed her with his blood. And he is sprinkling us, if you will, in our innermost spirit, in our conscience. It's his blood. And we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, don't we? From our sins, but also from that evil conscience. We need the blood. And doesn't John say he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? His blood is true and it is faithful. He will forgive you and he will cleanse you with his blood and he will cleanse your conscience with his blood. This is Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, God, but our life. And he is the one who's going to cleanse us, and he'll do it faithfully because he's already forgiven all of our sins once and for all. It was taken care of. So now we just come and we be cleansed by the one that we've already been enjoined to, and we let the blood of the covenant be sprinkled upon us. In fact, in Hebrews, some chapter there on, it quotes Exodus chapter 32-ish, when Moses took the tablets down from the mountain and had them build 12 altars, fill them with slaughter offerings, fill up 12 basins full of blood, and he sprinkled all the people and all the book of the law with the blood. And that verse is quoted in Hebrews where he says, this is the blood of the covenant that is for you who are enjoined. It uses the word enjoined in Hebrews, that you're joined to the Lamb. Now you're one with Jesus, and that blood of that covenant is yours to be sprinkled with and cleansed by and forgiven. All that is ours. And so if we have an evil conscience, or one that's been desecrated by the knowledge of good and evil, justified, and maybe hardened, maybe evil, praise the Lord that we are one with Jesus based on grace and unmerited favor, because God gave his only Son, that whomsoever should receive him would not perish in their own vileness, but would have eternal life. That is basic, but it is profound. It's true for us. We can be the lepers running and just saying, sprinkle my altar 7 times. I don't want to justify my condition. I want to say, here I am, the evil conscience girl. You know what I'm saying? Here I am, the one who made a league with the knowledge of, I go do my grocery shopping at the knowledge of good and evil supermarket. You know what I'm saying? I got a path to that supermarket. I don't even have to, look. I want to forge a new path to the tree of life. I want the blood of my groom to flow down into me and sprinkle every fill and cleanse me. Cleanse, but specifically cleanse the altar where your son can be given through me. Get it ready for offering. Why would the Lord even share this with us unless he wanted to just do it in a whole new way? I mean, as soon as the Lord said this to me, I bowed my head and said, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, needing the sprinkling of the blood. You got me. And I ain't going to justify, I know I'm excited when I'm teaching, but I'm really not teaching, I'm not even teaching right now, I'm not even sharing this from a place of, I'm sharing it because I'm convicted personally. Any oomph you're feeling is because this is how I'm standing against my own evil conscience. This is where I'm at with me and the Holy Spirit against Kelly. Do you see what I mean? I'm making a stand in my heart, but there's an oomph there because I'm serious personally. And I'm excited personally, and I want it, you know what I mean? I need it, and deeply need it, and I want it, and I'm excited, though, because why would he even share this? Why would the Word of God even declare this if it wasn't completely his desire? And the best way to get it is just to say, Lord, the lepers, it's so cool, because in chapter 14 of Leviticus, the lepers go through this whole rigmarole of eternal elements and eternal order being applied in an eternal way, a certain specific prescribed way. But by the very end of the offering, it looks almost exactly like the same process that's in Leviticus chapter 8, where they consecrate the priests. Except for a trespass offering and a trespass offering here and there, and anointing of the toe and ear here and there. I mean, it's almost the same thing. So you're like, Lord, I'm one of those lepers. But I'm not just coming to, just get right. I'm going to go all the way until I'm offering up the lamb. Come on, sprinkle my conscience. Let's get a new thing going. I want to bear witness deep inside that it's not the lamb and it is the lamb. My conscience needs to make friends with the Holy Spirit and the sprinkled blood so that the Spirit and the Word and the blood can bear witness in the earth. Hallelujah. I want a Spirit, water, and blood can bear witness in the earth, so that this little temple can be full of the offering. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? You just get after it. You just get after it. Anything that says you don't, you just don't listen to them. Just, I don't have time. You bloodless voice. No, sometimes we need, I'm just speaking to myself, sometimes we need to learn to hear the bloodless voices. There's a lot of voices that don't have the blood of Jesus in them. Well, I just think this, and the word is this, and the horn this, and the horn. You know what? I'm not going to bear witness to you. There's no blood in there. There's no life in there. There's no spirit in there. No eternal elements in you. Where did you come from? Are you the attorney shop next to the grocery store I've been shopping at, Knowledge of Good and Evil? I don't go in that neighborhood anymore. That is like the bad part of town. I'm going to walk up to Calvary Town. I'm taking a hike up to Mount Calvary, and I'm going to get everything there from now on. You know, everything there has blood in it, water, blood, and spirit. They all bear witness in one. And it's making me free on the inside, free to offer up the firstborn. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. We're looking at the water next week. But here we have the spirit sprinkling the blood, the spirit in us bearing witness to that blood. And we have the water coming, all of them out of the piercings of the crucified from whence the blood and water flowed. Isn't it beautiful? Whew. Out of that sacrifice flows that blood and water. And where does it go? Straight to our conscience, straight into his body, straight to wherever that blood and water is needed to give life and cleansing and newness, to be gathered into the Lamb as a body. Oh, my Lord, what kind of love is that? Who gives you a bath in their own blood? Who does that? That's Jesus. Do you love him or what? Oh, my God. And she hath washed her robes in the blood of the Lamb. You tell me that bride, that wife of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, didn't get her conscience purged. Because, good Lord, she would never have laid down her life and let the Lamb be offered through her so much if that conscience hadn't been just sprinkled and purged and cleansed so deep that she said, I know what's coming out of me. It's the Lamb. And I have a full assurance of faith with a pure heart that this is what's happening in me. I have been washed with water. We'll talk about that. And my conscience has been sprinkled. And I am ready for the fire. Take the offering now, Lord. Let's do this. No more mixture. No more me. Let's give the Lamb the real one. None of the sneaky stuff. I've divided the parts and I've ordered the wood and I'm ready for the fire. Let's go. Isn't it great? Let us just do it. Last little thing here. Hebrews, the next verse, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. You go, well, what are we talking about now? It's the same thing. It's about offering up the Lamb. The true Lamb will overcome in us. But it must be him and not our false crosses. It must be him and not our moral convictions and self-righteous reasonings on his behalf. We will be able to hold fast our profession of faith because we will know, we will bear witness in one that it was not I but Christ in me. I'm going to hold fast because I know this is the Lamb in me. I bore witness with the blood, with the spirit and water. I know this is his nature in me. Our conscience will be able to bear witness by the Holy Spirit. Like Paul said in 9 chapter, I tell you the truth, I lie not. My conscience is also bearing witness with the Holy Spirit that I have continual sorrow and heaviness in my heart. For I wish I myself were accursed from Christ, from the brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, I know that this feeling of wanting to be accursed from Christ in the flesh for my brethren's sake, to be separated even from the Lord for their sake, is coming because it's the Lamb in me. My conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit that this is truly the acceptable offering in me. It's not me. And I'm saying what my heart knows is to be true because of my conscience being dealt with by the Holy Spirit. I know this is the mind of the one who is my life, and he wants to give himself through me. That's a conscience that's been cleansed, sprinkled, and it's just functioning. It's in that sacrifice. It's there, man. It's the organ now used for this. Our bodies must also be washed so that we can walk out this death, but that's next time. Blood must sprinkle the heart before the heart can affect the walk. Everything in its order. The blood, you say, why can't I walk this out? Every time I want to let the Lamb come out of me in my walk and respond, and I get tripped up. I mean, I can raise both hands, both feet. If I had more hands and feet like an octopus, I'd raise them all because I know that feeling. Why can't I? I keep getting tripped up every time I want to release the Lamb. Well, the Lord's like, well, your conscience hasn't been sprinkled. You've got so many justifications about why you're right and they're wrong, and you're so high and proud and arrogant all this stuff. There's so many bad things I see in me that are me. I'm like, whoa. He's like, you got to deal with that before you're going to be able to just walk in a pure heart with a flow of, how is that living, clean water going to flow out of you if your conscience is full of all that defilement? Clean it up. Get that heart ready to be the altar. First, sprinkle with the blood. Then we're going to wash that body with pure water, and you won't get tripped up so much in your walk. It'll be a flow from head through body, and it will come by life. It won't have to be so very, very difficult, because there's an order to God in the way he brings forth his Son in us and through us unto sacrifice. So let's pray. Deb, go right ahead. Oh, please do. Yes, please.
First, I just really received this, I personally need it, because I know places that the Lord has formed the land in me, that's not appropriate for me, that's something you do. But I have huge places, I just humble myself right now before all of you, that I've allowed justifications and not the blood to come in there to make my heart a place of the altar. And I want Jesus in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this. This is Jesus. And I just admit it. Just pray for me. But I just wanted to cry about some scriptures here.
Do you want to go and share anything and say, I think they'd love to hear her. I would love you to go. If you're comfortable.
Can they hear her?
Okay, they can hear you.
Okay. The first one's in 1 Peter 3. It's about the good conscience. It's about Noah. It said, is this okay?
It's wonderful.
Okay.
It's just wonderful.
It says, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, who at one time were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, in which few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure unto which even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Christ. So this good conscience, and
that's awesome.
And this is just talking about when the ark was being prepared, and inside of the ark, God was waiting and he was preparing. And I did a search on this, and it just came back to me tonight, just my heart, that I don't ever remember seeing any scriptures talking about what was the real covering on the top of the ark. And the Holy Spirit took me to Adam and Eve, that they were covered with skins of animals. And that very possibly the whole top of the ark was skins of animals that were killed and crucified, and the blood was there. That was, how did they hook them together? I don't know. But it brought this huge protection, and all these skins, I mean, we got a little deer rug in our front, all of those hooked together, that covering. And I just, no one knew how to do it. He had that kind of a heart that evaluated the true blood, the true heart of the Lord. And he had beast inside of him, beast in the boat, beast in his family. But he somehow, the Lord directed him, keep looking. Because they couldn't do sacrifices inside that ark, you know?
Wow.
What was the first one on the outside? A sweet savor. And he came out with that good conscience. But he had to keep looking, you know, at all those sacrifices that him and his son had to do a lot. If that was really true, I don't know. But I couldn't find anything. But the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, that the covering was all these skins of these slaughtered animals, probably slaughtered lambs, to be a covering, and to look at that and receive that blood and the remembrance of that. I need the Lord and the Holy Spirit in this way. I just admit it before y'all. Whether anyone else does, or I don't care what anyone thinks, I want Jesus in this way. And I want that newness to come more back in.
I just love you, Deb, in your heart, and I miss you.
And everything I'm sharing, I do. I'm so deeply dealt with of the Lord in this personally. This is where I am at, and I do. I want to apologize for any oomph that came out of me that could feel personal to you, because it's not. It's towards me. It's, I am that leper that needs cleansing. I am that, and you know, all I know is that when our Father shares His word about His Son, and in the scriptures that He gave us, He's doing it because he's wanting to do it in us right now. That's all I can say. So I just want to get on board. I just want to get on board personally. I just do. Mallory, did you have something? I feel like you do.
Not knowing what we were going to share today, the Holy Spirit led me to that passage in Hebrews 10:19-23 that you read at the very beginning, the first new time. He led me there today with reference, but he wasn't tying it. He pointed out the sprinkling of the heart of an evil conscience, but he was dealing with me with reference to what Randy has shared about in the Colossians class about the first fruits coming in. And Jesus went into the holiest and made a new and living way. And we have an assurance before him when our hearts are sprinkled. This is where he's dealing with abuse, because I was shaken up today. I was really shaken up by some things in myself. So I'm before the Lord going, I'm really being shaken. I need that anchor to my soul, and he took me here. And to have that heart sprinkled of the evil conscience will help us remember that our forerunner is already there.
That what?
Our forerunner already came in to the Holy of Holies. He's the first fruit. And I'm not changed yet. But my heart sprinkled from an evil conscience lets me know that because he came, I'm solid. And just another long line of the sacrifice. In verse 20 it says that we enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. That word new is not the word new. It means freshly slaughtered.
Whoa.
That's the literal translation. That's not an interpretation. So it's by a freshly slaughtered and living way.
Whoa.
We enter because our hearts have been sprinkled of an evil conscience. So just that's where my heart was today. And then you were sharing. I was like, oh my gosh, this
You know, I'm so thankful you brought that aspect up, because, you know, I think when the blood hits our conscience, we go, oh, that's who I am. That's who I really am. This is who I am. This is the kind I am. Everything else has been foreign stuff hitting me, things that are not who I am anymore. And I'm one with this is who the head of the body is. This is who the life of the church is. This is, you know. It's assurance.
It says that we have that assurance, the full assurance of faith, because our hearts have been sprinkled. Mm-hmm. So we are assured before God, you know.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for, you know, doing what only you can do, reaching our hearts and sending that sweet little dove down there. Full wings, full of that blood, that essence, that real time poured out being of your slaughtered son and hitting our walls, hitting our floors, hitting the deep part of our heart where the offerings go, and just beginning to bear witness. This is who you are. This is the life you're of. This is the spirit you were made to partake of. This is the what you were supposed to live by. This is you. And cleansing us from the defilement of that which you have already crucified, cleansing us from things that we've let remain because we got dull and hardened by listening to other voices and being beguiled by the knowledge of good and evil. But we want to be a chaste bride. We don't want another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. We want Christ crucified, and not just in teaching, but in the poured out life that is filling our heart, coming out of our altar. Oh, Lord, we ask now that you would begin to deal with us in those little moments. That's what you're doing in me. It's not the big stuff. It's those little times when my conscience begins to justify attitudes and reactions that are defiled by the knowledge of good and evil and prevent the Lamb from really coming forth as a sweet savor out of me. That's right where you're dealing with me, Lord. And that's where I ask you to continue until it's finished, until it truly has been formed in this area, Lord. Father, I hear that heart in all of the hearts. They love you so much. We're all together in this. We're just one together in you. We're one body. Lord, we want you to go and possess these inward parts and to prepare us a tabernacle, a place of offering, to prepare this house, Holy Spirit, to sprinkle blood all around the altar site till every little part of it's ready to release the firstborn in sacrifice. Lord, let this be practical again. Let this be so practical in moment to moment. Catch us when we're in the middle of that bearing witness with the knowledge of good and evil. Catch us right in that moment and sprinkle blood on our altar. And let us be so impacted by the contrast that we just fall before you and begin to release you instead of that old vileness. Oh, Lord, let us just make a lifestyle of it until it's our government, until the Lamb has taken the throne and is filling the temple. But start today, Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts by an evil conscience, saith the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart by an evil conscience, but enter in through the blood of the Lamb. And we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.